Yeah, here we come. Another installment. The Bart and Bombi Show getting loose once again. It's a Friday in SC. We're living the life, Bart, and it's all about the NFL this Sunday, son. Talk to the people.
It's crunch time in the NFL right now. Playoff teams, playoff seedings are about to be set with these matchups. And people don't realize that the NFL made a lot of changes as far as their scheduling is concerned, so division opponents will be playing each other at the end of the year. So now you're just going to start to see it. All the division opponents, the big games within the divisions are going to be played within the next few weeks. So you're going to see all these games, all these races are going to come down to it. The Houstons, the Indianapolises, the Baltimores, the Pittsburghs, you know, even the putrid NFC West, all going to be decided within the next 4 or 5 weeks.
New England at Pitt on Sunday night, Philly at Washington on Monday night. What else could you want, Bart? Let's dive in. Let's talk that NFL, baby.
All aboard!
Oh, yeah. That song means only one thing on this show, Bart. The NFL train is coming through. Everybody better get on or get out the way. NFL is popping off. It's awesome. We got Troy Polamalu mouthing off to the boss. We got upstart teams that we didn't. We got the Raiders on a 3-game win streak. We got the old dogs standing up for themselves. Brady looking good. Peyton looking good. And Breeze riding his ship out in the NFC, Bart. What did you think was the biggest story of Week 9, son?
I really was impressed with what Philadelphia did, because I know that you and I talked about it, and I took Indianapolis, and I thought that Indianapolis would be able to go in there and actually defeat that team. But with Michael Vick coming back, Philadelphia showed that they're going to be a legitimate candidate for that division. And for the let's just get this straight. The NFC is not a powerhouse this year. There is a lot of teams that are pretty much in the middle of the road with just a few teams that are looking to break out. So Philadelphia has a solid chance of winning the division like I predicted and getting a top seed. So what they're able to do, beating Peyton Manning, I know it was at home, but still, beating Peyton Manning is a big deal no matter where you are. So that was one of the big things. I was really impressed by that, the way Vic came back and played, and now they're talking about long-term contract extension with him, so that's something to look out for. I really think that the Chargers going into their bye couldn't have gotten a better way of going into their bye by beating Houston. This is a big game for both those teams. We talked about it. It was one of our marquee games, and the Chargers needed that victory, and to be able to do what they're doing without the receivers and without Antonio Gates was really impressive. Their defense didn't really give up any big plays, and Philip Rivers, if he doesn't win the MVP this year, I don't know really what the voters will be thinking, because he deserves it.
Philip Rivers has been amazing this year. I threw that question at you. We didn't talk about it off air before the show about the stories of Week 9. You talked about both the stories that I was going to talk about. Philly's the story. San Diego over Houston's a massive story. I want to take it back to Philly. It was great to see Philly step up and say there's somebody here besides New Orleans and Green Bay.
Yeah, I think the big gorilla in the room is the Giants, because right now they're on a 5-game win streak, I think, and they're playing the best football overall as far as defense and offense. Eli's clicking, the receivers are clicking, Bradshaw's clicking, their defense has been a force. But if anyone's going to step up and challenge them, I really do believe that it's going to be Philadelphia. They have a defense that can stop people. They have an offense right now that, with Michael Vick, makes them very explosive. You never know if he's going to take off and run it. So that element right there adds just a difference to their offense that no other team has. You know, Eli Manning is not going to take off and run it. If he does, he might get 4 or 5 yards. But Vick is just a weapon that they are exploiting right now. He's been the best and most accurate passer of his career. He's got two studs on the outside in Macklin and DeSean Jackson that can absolutely tear people apart, tear defenses apart. And LeSean McCoy, what can you say about him? The guy's really matured in his second year. He's given him a force as far as the running back position is concerned. He's been able to stay healthy. He can break the long run. He catches a lot of balls. And they don't even need their tight end. Brett Celek has been a ghost, but they just dump and dink to McCoy. And I really do believe that they're a force to be reckoned with, and they're a team that can come out and definitely grab one of the two top spots in the NFC.
Yeah, we saw Vic on Atlanta back in the day roll into Green Bay and backhand Brett Favre in the face when nobody went into Green Bay and came out with a playoff win. And the thing about Vic that I'm seeing, everybody knows they got to watch Vic in the red zone. 20 and in. If you turn your back, he's going to score on you. That touchdown against Indy was from around midfield. The guy dropped back. He went through his progressions. He saw a massive hole in front of him, probably 20 yards deep before the next defender. Linebackers were nowhere to be found. He broke one or two tackles, made one or two moves, and he was gone. He dissected Indy's defense just like Bart told you he was going to do. It was a beautiful thing, and he really announced his arrival and the arrival of Philly on the national scene, on the Super Bowl scene. Flip side of that coin, Houston. We both called Houston. We're both going to eat a little crow. You know, when you call a tough game like San Diego-Houston, obviously you have the chance of being wrong. But Arian Foster goes for a 127. They run rampant on San Diego. San Diego has no gates, and Houston can't pull this game out. They're a sinking ship, Bart. I'm not going to change my pick. I'll go down in flames with my pick. But I got to say, it doesn't look like they're a playoff team, Bart.
You know, there's something wrong with their offense, and I don't know if they're enjoying the run too much. They're not getting their passing game in gear. I know that Andre Johnson's been a little hobbled. Something's not right with Matt Schaub. But their defense is not a playoff-caliber defense. They're getting gashed through the pass. They are getting gashed on the ground. I agree. I still think that they can win this division, and I still think that they can make the playoffs because they have the talent there to do it.
Yeah.
However, if they don't shore some holes up in their defense, they're going to be in trouble big time because this defense, when they get into the playoffs, is going to get gassed by somebody. And they have a lot of tough games. They still have two games against Tennessee coming up. So they have, and I mean, honestly, Tennessee right now is leading their division. So they have a lot of tough games, and it's all going to be this week right here at Jacksonville. You can't take Jacksonville for granted anymore. You never know what kind of David Garrard you're going to get, but that team right now is playing for its life. They're playing for their coach, and, I mean, they can go in there, and they could have a stinker, and Jacksonville can come out with a win, and that would pretty much be one of the worst things that could happen because right now at 4-4 and at Jacksonville 4-4, these two teams, this game right here could decide which one of them gets the wild card spot and which one stays home for the winner.
Yeah, this game is huge. Houston needs to punch Jacksonville in the mouth. They need to stand up for themselves. They need to show something. The whole league smells blood. I mean, they stink. When you look at the numbers, when you just look at the numbers, it's evident that they are not a playoff team. They have a plus-minus differential of minus 33. Now, let me go back and give you a little bit of insight into that number. Bart and I have been ripping apart the Miami Dolphins, saying they're not making the playoffs. They're minus 32, okay? That's the company that they're keeping. Minus 33, Tampa Bay, they're a good team. They're in the NFC. Minus 33 will not equal W's in the AFC. You're going to get trucked. I mean, Cincinnati's plus minus is minus 23, Bart. And let's talk about them. They're one of the big stories, 2-6, a defending AFC North champion. They're not going to win anything this year. They're not going to the playoffs this year. What are you seeing in Cincinnati that has this team 2-6, Bart?
Well, Carson Palmer's got some issues. In the beginning of the year, it seems like he's throwing everything high. Now it seems like he's just been really inaccurate with all his throws. I mean, honestly, if they didn't have T.O., this team would probably be winless right now.
Yeah.
Benson has not been the force that he was last year. Their whole running game in general, they have not been able to pound the ball. And I don't know, their defense right now is a little shaky, and I know they've had some injuries, but even this last week's game against Pittsburgh, they had their two top cornerbacks back, and they just couldn't contain Mike Wallace or that passing game, and they got gassed by the run. And, you know, one of the biggest solutions or biggest things in football is that if you can run the ball and you can stop the run, then you have a pretty solid chance of making the playoffs and even going to the Super Bowl. If you can't do either, you have a pretty solid chance of beating crow.
Yeah, anybody that wants to point of that defense, that's a hell of a point by Bart. 2 points, actually. T.O. was supposed to be a gamble for this team. If they didn't have him, they'd be 0-for. They'd be 0-for-8. The other thing, talking about that defense, you know, you can talk about their points against at 190 and say, hey, that's not great. No, it's not great. But Atlanta's points against is 175, and they're 7-2. So don't tell me that this defense is pathetic, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they're not putting up Pittsburgh and Baltimore numbers, okay? Obviously, their points against isn't below 150, but 190 isn't a disgrace, okay? Houston's given up 226. We believe they could still be a playoff team. 190 means that this defense has potential. They're getting after the ball, and this offense just can't sustain drives. Bert told you in his fantasy segment in the summertime when he talked about running back busts, said Benson would be a bust. I don't care that he ran for 1,000 yards last year, Bart. This guy cannot be the cornerstone of an offense at all.
No, he's fantasy relevant simply because he gets 20 touches a game. And in any kind of league, any kind of running back that can get 20 touches a game is going to be worth its weight. And honestly, he doesn't have anyone back there he's sharing the load with. So he's one of those few running backs that's actually going to carry the load. And just on that alone, he's able to get enough yards to really give players and teams enough points that they need to succeed. But the guy didn't run with heart last year. I know he came on towards the end of the season, but really I think was more a product of his offensive line, and that offensive line is not opening the holes for him. He doesn't hit the hole with any kind of ferocity. He doesn't hit the hole with any kind of speed whatsoever. He kind of dances a little bit in the hole before he actually hits it. He doesn't get a lot of balls out of the backfield. So, I mean, really, he's not a guy that you can really rely on. And though he's getting 20 carries a game, he's not a Rashard Mendenhall. He's not a Frank Gore. He's not one of those guys that you can put back there and say, I don't have to worry about this position. It's taken care of. You know, Steven Jackson, that guy fights through injuries, still produces. That guy's a warrior. I would not put Cedric Benson anywhere near that category.
He runs like a beast. Steven Jackson runs like a beast. Said Benson runs like a guy who's saying, open up that hole for me or I'm not going to run through it. Carson Palmer doesn't scare anybody anymore. What do you see? Do you think this guy's hurt, Bart? Is that the bottom line? Has he been dinged up for the last few years and he's still not right?
Yeah, I think that elbow injury was more serious than people wanted to let on.
I can't point to anything else. This guy has just declined. I mean, I want to believe that it can't happen. He was the top fantasy QB, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. He was one of the up-and-comers in this league, and he just looks like a middle-of-the-road QB. He doesn't look like they're going to do anything. Bart, let's move on, man. Let's get to Week 10. Enough of Week 9. This is a huge week in the NFL. We got massive games. We already had a great game between Atlanta and Baltimore. Let's talk about those Sunday morning games. A massive game, not necessarily one that you and I care about, but it's a big one across the nation. Minnesota at Chicago. Who you got, Bart?
Oh, man. You know, I'm going to go to Chicago.
Yeah. It's picking between the lesser of two evils here. It's Brett Favre, Jay Cutler. It's a stink bomb waiting to happen. They're going to fling it. I got to believe they're going to fling it. I got to believe most of the people here, fantasy-wise, are going to pop. I'm with you. I don't know who to pick here. It's a stink bomb of a game. I'll go Chicago as well just because I hate Brett Favre's guts. What are you seeing in Chicago, Bart? Do you think they're going to be able to right their ship and start chugging along again, or is this a team that's going to miss the playoffs?
You know, it's so hard to predict because, like we mentioned, the NFC right now is not very strong, so a team like Chicago with a couple of strong wins could get in.
Yeah.
The problem with Chicago is they can't pass protect. Cutler's been getting murdered out there. So it's one of those teams where on any given day they can beat any team if they give him the protection he needs, but then on every given day they can lose any team because they can't block anybody. So, I mean, again, they're playing in a division that's very winnable. Green Bay has got a half-game lead on them right now. So it's not like they're in a division where they can't come back and win the game. I mean, right now I have no confidence in Minnesota whatsoever. Chicago's defense actually plays very well against opposing quarterbacks, and we all know what kind of season Brett Favre's having. I wouldn't be surprised if he throws 3 picks this year, especially after last week's game. Everybody's high on them again. But if you look at their schedule down the stretch, I mean, they got this game. They play Philadelphia in 2 weeks, so that'll be a big game. It's a home game. Then they go to Detroit, which is a game that people might think that Chicago might have a chance to win, but Detroit's defense is actually like above average in sacks right now and could easily play disrupt to the Chicago offensive line. And then they come home again to New England, which is a big game. That's a statement game in my mind. If they're going to have any success and make it towards the playoffs, they have to win this game. It's a home game against New England, an AFC powerhouse, you know, best record in the football. So that's the game that I think they'll probably lose to Philadelphia. They'll probably go to Miami and beat Miami because Miami, especially with Penton, is not going to be a team that scares anybody. If they lose to Detroit, they're in trouble. But that New England game is a game that's going to tell me whether they have what it takes to make the playoffs or not.
I hate the Bears. I think they're a microcosm, though, of the entire NFC. They're 21st in passing yards with 198 and 27th in rushing yards with 90. They stink, and they're 5-3. It's what the NFC is this year. If you look at their schedule and you look at the games they've already played, They've never scored over 27 points. And the team they hung 27 on was a team called the Dallas Cowgirls. So, I mean, they haven't done anything except for the Green Bay game, which they won 20-17. And Green Bay was adjusting to losing Ryan Grant, having dings on the defensive side of the ball, and Green Bay dropped a huge game to them in week three. Put that aside, they got trucked by New York. They beat up on Carolina, which is a who cares game. And the last three games they've played, versus Seattle, versus Washington, and at Buffalo, they haven't put up more than 22 points, Bart. That's not going to get it done. Sorry, Chicago fans, your team stinks, your quarterback stinks. I love that defense. The defense got a makeover. They're getting it done. They lost to Seattle 23-20. Hey, defense did their job. They lost to Washington 17-14. Defense did their job. Both those games could have been wins. They probably should have been wins. We should be talking about this team at 7-1. The reason we're not, Jay Cutler, Mike Martz, I don't think either of these guys can get it done. I don't have them winning this game. I'm changing my pick, Bart. I can't go with Chicago. I hate Brett Favre beans. I just got to, you know, put that out of my mind and take AP in this one. I apologize for changing, but I changed it before the segment was officially over. I got Minnesota. Bart's got Chicago. Let's move on to another huge game, Bart. It's not huge because of, you know, the implications for both teams, but we talked about it, you know, in the beginning of the show. Houston at Jacksonville. Houston has to win this game or they're officially a nobody, Bart.
Yeah, both these teams have. This is a big game for both these teams. I mean, Jacksonville obviously started off really poorly. Everyone's saying that Derek Carr is going to get benched and that Jack Del Rio is going to get fired. And since then, they've had some pretty impressive wins, at least impressive for their standards. Houston, though, I mean, this is their season right here.
Yep.
If they lose, it's done for them. I don't see them making the playoff. This is a playoff run starts right here for them. And like we said earlier, there's two more games coming up against Tennessee. This is one of those games against a team that they absolutely have to beat. I mean, look at what Houston does. They were the favorites coming in. They beat Indianapolis in week one. Everyone was saying that they were going to take this division. You have to beat a team like Jacksonville. I don't care if it's at Jacksonville. They never sell it anyways. Especially when you go to the Jets the next week and then you come home for Tennessee. This stretch right here, Jacksonville, and then you follow that up with the Jets, Tennessee, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Tennessee. I mean, this is it right here. If they lose this game, then they could go in a tailspin. And even if they win this game, I mean, you're looking at teams that can run the ball and throw the ball with, you know, great success. That defense has proven they can't stop anybody. While looking at the schedule, man, I don't really know. It's not looking good for our picks.
No, we always stand by our picks. We love Houston as a team. I thought Schauber was better than he is. I'm not even going to say that. Something's wrong with Matt Schaub in my book. They're not putting up the points you would expect from a team like this. I'm looking at their last three losses. 10 points against the Giants, 17 against Indy, 23 against the Chargers. These are three teams. Let's throw the Giants out of there. Indy and San Diego are two teams that I know for a fact Houston can run it up on. They might not, you know, be able to get away from them. San Diego and Indy might go point for point with them, but I know Houston can run it up on those two teams. They didn't. Something is wrong with Schaub. We know Andre Johnson's not right. Gosh, all signs, Bart, are pointing to Jacksonville winning this game.
Yeah, and, you know, Jacksonville, they know how to win their division games. I'll give them that. You know, they don't do very well against other opponents, but, you know, they beat Indianapolis earlier in the season. They always play Tennessee tough. This is one of those games. You know, at home, they are a team to be reckoned with. And David Garrard always says his best games at home, you know, unless he's playing the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are just terrible. But at home, they are a team that plays very well. They get up for their opponents. They definitely don't play down their opponents at home. And it's one of those games that, I mean, don't get me wrong, Jacksonville is looking to make the playoffs this year. This is a tough division, and any one of those teams can knock off any one of those teams. So Jacksonville would love nothing more than to knock off Houston and put themselves in the driver's seat to try and get a playoff berth. And even, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if they're looking to try and win this division. They're only one game back right now of Tennessee. They end the season at Houston, so this is a huge game for both these teams.
Yeah, they want to spank Houston now. They get them at Houston the last game of the season. They want to smack them in the mouth then as well. I think you're right. Jacksonville's probably got delusions of grandeur. They're saying, hey, if we win this game, We got Cleveland at home. We can do some things winning these two games back-to-back. We just need to start with Houston. Something in my gut is telling me Jacksonville, so I'm calling Jacksonville. I think Houston's season is over. Something is just wrong over there. I don't know enough to put my finger on it, but I got to go Jacksonville, Bart. And if this game doesn't go over, I don't know a damn thing about the NFL. So don't say we didn't give you anything. Houston at Jacksonville. Take the over in that one and go to bed. Another big game. Not so much for both teams, but for one team. Cincy at Indy. Indy gets the chance to send a message that, hey, we're not going to play down to teams. We're not going to let teams, you know, with a one-trick pony like T.O. come in here and beat us. I got to believe Indy's going to put the wood to Cincinnati. Bart, who you got?
I'm going to go with Indy. It's going to be a bounce-back win. I mean, they took a tough loss to Philadelphia, and they almost came back and won that game. You know, I just looking at the highlights, and you saw the look on Peyton's face after the clock hit triple zeros. He was not happy about it whatsoever. They're a week or two away from getting a dive back. They've sustained a lot of injuries in their receiver core. They put Anthony Gonzalez on IR, and that could be his last game of his career, really, definitely with the Colts. You know, Austin Collie got banged up again last week, but you get the sense that no matter how down this team gets, they always find a way of coming back and bouncing back and getting a victory, and that just shows you what Manning is made of for the most part. And they're at home. Cincinnati is a team in disarray. Chad Ochocinco, I don't know if you were watching the game last weekend, but, I mean, it seems like every play that he was running, he was sitting there complaining about something, and he was crying. I mean, I think their starting left tackle had to go up to him at one point and like tell him to be quiet or tell him to shut up or tell him to line up and stop crying or whatever.
No, you're rolling. Shut your mouth.
I think that Carson Palmer has tuned him out a little bit, and you started to see that rift a couple years ago, and it's kind of just been building and building, especially with T.O. there. Teams are still doubling Chad Ochocinco, and I think that he was all gung-ho about having T.O. there, but now that T.O.'s getting the spotlight, I think he's a little upset about it. And he's, you know, he's used to being the guy, and he hasn't been the guy. And you're going to just see that team fall apart. I think it'll be a decent game. Obviously, the Colts can get a run on, so I think that's going to be the bread and butter for Cincinnati. They need to be able to establish the ground game. But they don't have what it takes to keep up with the Colts.
They won't keep up with them. And that was a great point that you bring up again about Ochocinco. It's pretty ironic about the wide receiver situation. They wanted to run Ochocinco out of town. It didn't happen. He blocked it. He didn't perform. Teams didn't want him, etc. Hushmanzada leaves town. All of a sudden, Chad Ochocinco thinks he's standing on solid ground, that he's this, you know, player in Cincinnati who's going to finish his career in Cincinnati. Yeah, bring T.O. The more the merrier, blah, blah, blah. T.O. is there to replace Ochocinco. Ochocinco's getting waived in the offseason. I believe T.O.'s got at least two more good years in him. He's proven to be the number one. Carson Palmer does not look at Ochocinco. You mentioned it. It doesn't matter how much the team wants T.O. and Ochocinco side by side, blah, blah, blah. If Carson Palmer's not going to throw to Ochocinco, if he doesn't trust Ochocinco, Ochocinco's a nobody in Cincinnati. I believe he's a nobody in the league. Bart, I got to ask you, how close is Chad Ochocinco to getting bounced out of the league, never to return?
I don't know about that. I mean, look at, you know, Pac-Man Jones got another chance. That's the thing about teams, that they have a need and there's a guy out there with talent.
Right.
Bring that guy back. I mean, look at T.O. Nobody wanted T.O. except for Cincinnati. Obviously, it's worked out great for T.O., and I don't know if he'll stay in Cincinnati, but he's obviously showing teams that he can still play given the right situation. So it's always you can't really ever say that a guy is going to be bounced out of the league as long as he still has the ability to play. But the thing about Chad Ochocinco is it's not the talent that he has on the field. It's his attitude that he has on the field and in the locker room. And you started to see that a couple of years ago when they were, I think it was a year after they made their playoff run or a couple of years after they made their playoff run, and it's just like every single route that was ran wrong, every time Carson would throw a pass that didn't go his way, you started to see him complain more and more and more, started to see him whine more and more. And I think it just wears on a quarterback when you have a little bitch like that just constantly nagging you in your ear, and you tune him out. And that's exactly what you're saying. And if you have T.O. on the other side, why would you want to throw it to Chad's direction anyways?
Yeah, and, you know, we've given Carson a hard time for good reason on this show. He is still the man in Cincinnati. If he goes to the front office, if he goes to the head coach, if he goes, hey, Marvin, get this guy out of here, he'll be gone. I got to believe he's gone from Cincy. I agree with Bart. This is the second chance league. Somebody will look at him on a practice field with no pads on and just be blown away.
Well, and you got to imagine, this is the last year for the entire coaching staff. They're not coming back. I mean, it's his last year of his contract. They're not going to renew his contract. Marvin Lewis is all but gone. So with that entire coaching staff leaving, you know you're going to get a new coaching staff in, which means that every single player on that roster is going to be reevaluated as far as who fits the system of whatever coach they bring in. So no matter what, Carson Palmer will be there. He's still Carson Palmer. You're not going to have a coach come in and say, no, we got to get rid of this guy because I want to bring a guy who fits my system. So Carson Palmer and the new coach will be able to have a say as far as who they want and who they feel will give them the best chance to succeed going into next year. I don't think they'll bring Cedric Benson back. I don't think they'll bring Chad Ochocinco back. I definitely think that they'll probably give T.O. a year or two more on his contract or whatever the case is, maybe front him some guaranteed money. And, they might even draft a stud running back, you know, bring in some fresh legs, maybe they might even draft Carson's successor and give him show him the door and say this is your window. But there's going to be a lot of changes in Cincinnati coming up next year for sure.
Yeah, perfect segue. There's going to be a lot of transition coming real soon, I believe, in another town. It's called Denver. Josh McDaniels, to me, he started off hot last year, looked like he was pushing a lot of the right buttons. No longer. He's taken a lot of heat for the Tebow trade. Peyton Hillis is a man beast in Cleveland. Denver can't run the ball at all. This is the afternoon game that's caught my eye. Both teams, it means a lot. For Kansas City, Kansas City has Oakland and San Diego on bye. Kansas City wins this game. They pick up a half a game. They pick up a game in the win column. And they send a message to Denver that says, you're going to enjoy the basement for the rest of the season. Kansas City at Denver, afternoon game. Bart, who you got?
Oh, I'm going to take Kansas City. You know, I honestly have to say I was really impressed with the victory that Oakland had. I thought Kansas City would be able to go in there and handle them. And looking towards the end of the fourth quarter, I thought that they'd be able to actually take that victory. But Oakland came back and they did what they usually don't do, and that's win a big game.
Yeah, they hung tough. They hung tough. I mean, Kansas City should have blown us off the field. It was 10-0, I believe, at halftime. It should have been 20-0. It should have been 20-0. Kansas City really let a game slip away. And I'm glad you brought up last week, not because I want to talk Oakland. I want to talk KC, and I want to talk specifically, Bart, about a personnel situation that I believe is the biggest mismanaged personnel situation in all of football. Thomas Jones getting the bulk of the carries over Jamal Charles in Kansas City, Bart. How does that coaching staff explain that? And are they going to continue doing that throughout the end of the year?
Well, they explain it because they've had success and they're 5-3. And it's really easy to, when people ask that kind of question, easy to look back and say, well, we're winning, so F off. You know, as soon as the team starts to lose 2 or 3 games in a row, that's when you have to go back and say, well, we need to reevaluate some things, and we feel that this going in this direction gives us the best chance of success. And that's all it really is. You saw it. I mean, I know fantasy owners everywhere that drafted Jamal Charles, and I'm one of them, wants to see this guy get the ball 15, 20 times a game. It's just not happening. He should, because he's a mega, mega stud. I mean, the guy can take it. I mean, he's averaging close to 10 yards a touch almost. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. They need to get the ball in his hands more, but it's a recipe for success right now. I mean, they started off hot with the two of them running. They have the best running attack in the league, and they're not going to mess with something that's working. And it keeps both of them fresh. And for a playoff run, they need two healthy running backs that can wear on teams. And, I don't like it either, but as long as they're winning, they're going to keep that formula. If they start to lose a couple games here and there, then you'll start to see it changed.
I'm perturbed. This is where the fantasy rubber meets the NFL road. Players like us, fantasy geeks like us, are sitting there with Jamal Charles, who, by the way, in a timeshare situation in Bart's fantasy league, is the number 15 running back. In a timeshare, 20 points a game in a timeshare. So you can understand why fantasy owners are saying, give this guy the ball full time. Thomas Jones, we sang his praises last week. He is having a hell of a year. KC is having a hell of a year. He was pathetic against Oakland. He could not hit a hole. There were holes there. Please don't call to our show because, one, we don't take call-ins, and two, I saw what I saw. There were holes there. Thomas Jones couldn't hit them. They got closed up by Seymour and the boys in Oakland, and Oakland handled their business in the end. But Jamaal Charles is a mega freak. They weren't throwing him the ball out of the backfield. They didn't give him a lot of carries, and he still did the damn thing. He went for 17 last week. To me, this is something to keep an eye on, Bart. I agree with you. If they keep winning, there's nothing you can say about it. I don't think they will keep winning. I think it's, you know, they are sorely mistaken if they do not give Jamaal Charles the ball. I feel he's top five running backs in the league. Because of this whole thing, because of this scenario, I think they lose in Denver. Nothing changes until they lose. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball against Denver. I think that Mile High crowd is going to be raucous. The building's going to be blowing up. They are out for blood. They want this win, and I think they're going to get it, Bart.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to disagree with you. I think Kansas City is a better team. I think they will be able to run on them. I think that you're going to see Jamaal Charles have his way like he did a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he's still having a pretty productive day. And Matt Castle really has been improving. He's been playing solid ball. That touchdown he threw to Dwayne Bowe in the fourth quarter to take the lead, which I thought would have been the game-winning score, was really impressive. That whole drive was really impressive. And Denver, to me, they don't play like a winning team should play. They don't have the charisma and the fortitude that a winning team shows when they go out there. And I don't think that they have what it takes. And I think that Kansas City rolls in there and punches them in the face and then walks out of there.
Hey, I can't point to anything to say that you're wrong, buddy. So, you know, I got to bow down to that pick. Kansas City is the safe pick. They're the smart pick. They're Bart's pick. I'm going Denver. Orton's flinging it for three bills. I believe Orton and Denver are going to control the pace, not Kansas City. I also believe this is the second crappiest division in all of football, so I got to believe in parity. I got to believe Kansas City continues to fall back to the pack. I got Denver in this one. The next game, Bart, I can count on no hands the number of fans that are telling me that Dallas is going to beat the Giants this week. That's the noise you're hearing out of Dallas fans. Nobody wants to talk Dallas football unless they want to talk about how crappy their team is and what they think the team should do moving forward and Bill Cowher, blah, 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 blah. Bottom line, Dallas at the New York Giants, Bart. You got the Giants trucking them or what?
Oh, yeah. We don't even need to spend time on this. I mean, the Giants are going to throttle them. They throttled them the first time. They're going to throttle them at home.
Yeah, we should just play some music and take a bathroom break on this one. We're not going to do that. We both got the Giants. We're going to gloss over it. Another game that I'd like to gloss over, but we're not going to because they're your team. If Oakland were playing this week and didn't have a bye, I'd talk it. So we're going to talk your team. St. Louis at San Fran. Bart, who you got, son?
Well, I'm going to take the Niners. This is a big win was a big game for both teams. Yes. Obviously, St. Louis is looking to take the lead in the division. And if we're going to make any kind of comeback and any kind of run towards the playoffs in our division, it starts right here. And we need to win at home coming off a bye. Troy Smith played fairly well against Denver in London. He's getting another crack at it, and I really do feel that if he comes in and plays really impressively and we get a win, and he's going to have a chance to start again, and if we can go and beat Tampa Bay again next week, then he should be the guy, because if we can get on a small roll here, then we'll be all right. But after the next two games, which are two home games, we have like four of our last six on the road. So it starts here, though. We were 5-1 against our division last year. We've only played one division game. We've lost one of them. So we need to start now. We still have two games against Arizona coming up. We got two games against St. Louis and obviously one more game against Seattle. So it starts now.
Yeah, this is a massive game. One of the games we glossed over, we'll talk about it in regards to this game, Seattle at Arizona. One of those teams has to lose, by definition, unless we have a Donovan McNabb tie. Somebody's going to lose. San Fran, a lot of our friends have accused me of sort of liking and enjoying this team because of my friendship with you. It's crap. I like this team. I like the way you play. You guys played hard for Nolan. Your boys have played hard for Singletary. The differential, minus 41, not the greatest of numbers. It's good for second in the NFC West behind St. Louis. So to me, you guys in St. Louis are the most talented teams. I don't know if either one of you will win the division, but you're the most talented teams. You have a golden opportunity to smack St. Louis in the mouth. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. I have no idea why. I like that minus 41 differential. I think you guys see the opportunity. I think you guys have had changes. You know, you fired the coordinator. things are in chaos, things are in flux. When the storm settles and everything gets calm and your boys get to look around and go, hell, we can win this division. I think they're going to win this division. I'm going to stand by my pick. I think they're beating St. Louis this week. Let's go back to that game. Let's not gloss over completely, Bart. Seattle at Arizona. Who do you think's coming out of that one?
Well, talk about a stinker, but I'm going to go with Arizona.
Oh, it's a disgrace of a game. I'm not going to watch 2 seconds of this game. I'm going to go Arizona as well. I know why you're going for them. They're 3-5. Seattle's 4-4. If you guys beat St. Louis and Seattle loses as well, every team has at least 5 losses. All of a sudden, San Francisco is 1 game back in the standings. I got to believe you're going to build on it. Coming out of the bye week, I got you guys beating St. Louis. I know that's music to your ears. It's going to be pandemonium. The real pandemonium starts Sunday night, Bart. We don't need to hype this game. Don't need to talk about the guys involved. New England at Pitt. Enough said. Who you got, Bart?
Pittsburgh.
Woo! Massive game. What are you seeing in New England that made you want to pick Pitt?
Well, I mean, I think New England got exposed a little bit against Cleveland. Their defensive line is undersized. They got pushed around. And they've shown that the whole season that when they go up against quality offensive line and a quality running game, they get pushed around a little bit. Right now, nobody's running it better than Rashard Mendenhall. And I just think that the Pittsburgh, despite what happened against New Orleans, Pittsburgh's just on a roll. Their defense is going to bring it. They're going to be able to get a couple of long passes to Mike Wallace. And you're going to see this team, they're just a tough team to play against. They're going to hit some deep balls. And I just really think they're going to control the clock a little bit. And don't get me wrong, I don't think it's going to be a blowout whatsoever. But New England cannot run the ball whatsoever, and that's going to be the biggest thing. They're going to have to rely on a lot of short intermediate passes to Danny Woodhead, to Deion Branch, to Aaron Hernandez, those guys. But in the end, I think Pittsburgh is going to come out on top.
People were talking about the Randy Moss deal as if New England really had to make something happen. Moss had to go. He wasn't going to be resigned, blah, blah, blah. What I took out of that is that Dreamboat is not at 100%. Something told Belichick, you're not going all the way this year. Moss won't be re-signed next year. You might as well make the move now and preempt it. But I got to believe something's wrong with Tom Brady. He's not putting up the miracle fantasy points. And the thing that I got to point to that makes me think something's wrong with him, he's dumping it off to Woodhead and those guys a hell of a lot more than he's finding Wes Welker, Bart. Something's going wrong over there. I can't pick them either. I got Pitt probably by a lot. I believe New England's not going to be able to get anything done. They don't have the deep threat anymore. The big dog is gone. There is no Brady to Moss. Those days are over. The deep ball is over. New England's got a dink and dunk. Pittsburgh, like you said, they could do anything they want. Pound Mendenhall for 150 yards, throw it for 300 yards, or pick your poison and do both. And just methodically tear New England apart. Both of us got Pitt, but it's going to be a hell of a game. Nobody missed this one. Another one that nobody should miss, Bart. I wanted to talk it last week. I was disciplined. I had discipline. I pushed it off. It's here now. Monday Night Football, baby. It doesn't get any bigger. Mike Vick, Donovan, Philly, Washington. Who you got, Bart?
Oh, I'm going to take Philadelphia for sure. I don't care if it's in Washington. Washington's just not a very good football team. I mean, they can run the ball. Taurine hopefully will come back off of his injury. But honestly, in my opinion, and I don't care who's gotten to 5 NFC championship games and 1 Super Bowl, Donovan McNabb has proven that if the ball is in his hands under 2 minutes with a chance to win the game, he cannot make the plays necessary to win. Philadelphia right now is hot. They have a quarterback who's almost as unstoppable as any in the league. They have a running game that's solid right now, and I really believe that they go in there and put the beat down to Washington. It should be a decent game because it's Monday Night Football, but I think Philadelphia comes out with a 10-point victory at the very minimum.
I think it'll be a decent game, too. I think Donovan's going to come out, and just on pride alone, he's going to hang with Philly for the first half. I believe Philly and Vic will break away, but it's funny. You hear all these Redskins fans talking as if they've been lifelong Philly Donovan fans. And they always do exactly what you just said. They start quoting the guy's resume. 5 championships. If you have to quote your resume to me when I ask you if you got the goods to win this Monday night game, I don't think you do. If you have a resume like that, the last thing you do is bust it out and start quoting it. You know what you got. I don't think Tom Brady walks around talking about how many rings he's got when asked if he can win this Monday night game. Donovan McNabb, you know, he's got to rest on that resume because that's all there is left. He's a shell of himself. He still has the look. You got that smile. You got that swagger. He throws a, you know, a laser every so often that makes you say, wow. Bottom line, this guy can't get it done. I don't think much of him. I don't think much of that roster. I got to ask you, Bart, because it's been a big story in the media, Shanahan, through halfway of this season with the Washington Redskins, what's your impression of his management of the Washington team?
I don't know. It's really hard to get a gauge. They're inconsistent. They're very inconsistent on the field as far as their production. I think Shanahan's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I mean, obviously he got those two victories with John Elway in Denver, and that pretty much cemented him as, you know, what his reputation is now. But it's hard to win with a quarterback like McNabb. Obviously Andy Reid proved that and finally cut his losses and got rid of him. So I don't know. I think that when Shanahan gets a quarterback in there that he can trust, it's a guy that he handpicked, a young guy that fits his system and gets more players in there, year two should be telling as far as what kind of team he's going to have.
Philly's 3-1 on the road, Bart. The flip side of that coin is they're 2-2, a bit of a weak link at home. They're 3-1 on the road, Bart. Why does this team come together so well in your mind? What do they do on the road that they're not necessarily doing at home?
I don't know. This team just seems to be playing with each other. They play for each other, and it doesn't really matter where they're at. They just put all those distractions aside, and they go out there and get it done.
Let's give the folks a final score. We both got Philly in this one. What do you think? What kind of game is it going to be out in Washington on Monday night?
Oh, like you said, I think the first half, because of the intensity of the two teams, the division rivalry, I think it's going to be a close game going into halftime. I think Philadelphia is going to eventually pull away, and I see it being like a 35-21 type of game. Philadelphia wins this game.
Nice. I got a little bit higher scoring. I think Vic is going to get loose a little bit. I'm going to go 30-27, something like that. I think Donovan will hang for the first half. I think he'll put up a late, inconsequential score in the second half, probably late in the fourth quarter, to make the score look better than it is, 30-27. But I got Philly blowing them off the map, and that's what it's all about. Yeah. Oh, yeah, killed that segment, Bart. We're talking NFL, SC, all year long. All you people, listen to us on iTunes. Check us out on NeonTommy.com. We'll holler at y'all next week.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now touch me, baby. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made?